This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. An old proverb, but don't believe it too implicitly. Give a man enough rope and he might hang you. A switch, but all in the line of work. After all, a hangman also eats.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Craig speaking. There's nothing like a college education. The hallowed halls of ivy is the perfect cure for moss on the brain. I had my own wits nicely sharpened a case or two ago, matriculating in an institution of higher learning known across the land as Blankhurst U. I've been summoned to the dean's office. A mild-looking chap with eyeglasses that sat on the middle of his nose. His name was Palmer. Dean Percival Palmer.
My decision to employ you is personal. As you may know, we have a rather celebrated basketball team.
Enough said. I can fill in the rest. A rated basketball team grown too big for the old college gym. Gone big time. Big arenas, big gates, big dough, big bet. Players are bribed, games are dumped, etc., and so forth.
I've considered outlawing basketball at Blankhurst U.
Now, what are the facts?
There are no facts as such. Only whisperings, grave rumors, a seething undercurrent in the school and in the public press.
Well, spell out one specific rumor.
Very well. It is hinted that the contest of last week was, fixed.
Who played against Blankhurst U last week?
Stratton College. Stratton College was the obviously inferior team.
Well, obvious by what measurement?
Why, its record for the season. It had won but two contests and lost 14.
Pretty feeble, all right.
While Blankhurst U came into the contest with 16 victories and 3 defeats.
Making Blankhurst U the odds-on favorite. But Blankhurst U lost, huh?
Yes.
Well, how close was the score?
49-43. There was a sharp newspaper attack after the contest. A sports columnist named Sophie Slater writes a column called The Lowdown on Sports. He was almost libelous in what he wrote.
Well, who is the captain of the team?
Chris Ransom.
And who is the coach?
Sandy Bigelow.
Do the rumors touch Coach Bigelow?
Very much so.
The crooked coach, rare if true. It's usually one player that louses up a team. One susceptible sucker that gamblers can get to. However, when's the next game?
Tomorrow night. Blankhurst, you plays Van Bursen College.
Well, who's favored to win?
Van Bursen College has yet to win one major contest this season.
Meaning if Van Bursen wins tomorrow, there's really something rotten in Blankhurst. The next night, I was a spectator, along with 20,000 other basketball fans. The game was played in the $1 million Bates Coliseum. Everybody invited, regardless of pedigree, nobody barred. Just pay the admission tab. Look over your shoulder and see half the graduating class of Sing Sing, 1935 to 55. College basketball was sure rubbing elbows with its riffraff. Blankhurst figured to be a walk-away winner on its record, only it wasn't. It was trailing in the last quarter, 67 to Van Bursen, 74. Trailing with only minutes left on the big clock. And then the final whistle blew. The catcalls and boos could be heard in Siam. If Blankhurst had lost legitimately, nobody but nobody believed it. I caught the captain of the team, Chris Ransom, under the showers. A gangling youngster who stood 6 feet six high. Red hair and a crew cut. And freckles like somebody had splattered his face with a ripe tomato.
Hey, pass me a baton, huh?
Sure. Here you are.
Thanks. You're here to heckle me, huh?
Why do you say that?
You're the secret agent Dean Palmer wished on us.
Well, I see my fame has preceded me. Well, whenever you're ready, Chris, I've got some questions.
Well, is this going to take long? I've got a date. New chick. I can lose her to 20 other guys.
Well, I'll make it brief.
Well, I'm holding you to that. Come on, we can chin in the locker room.
Captain Chris Ransom wasn't too candid a witness.
So we lost a few games. Why all the hullabaloo?
Well, Blankhurst lost two in a row to pushovers.
The team's on ragged edge. Beat, dog tired.
I saw tonight's game. I made some mental reservations about it.
You're going to set yourself up as a basketball expert?
I know the game, Chris. I was a player as a youngster and a fan ever since.
All right, mastermind, go ahead. What did you find suspicious about tonight's game?
Well, one thing, the money riding on it.
How would you know?
Faces in the crowd. Tony Capron, big Eastern bookmaker. Vince Varden, a notorious fixer of prize fights and horse racing. Varden's been convicted for both. And then Johnny Minton, one I admire, Richie Silk, Bozo the Bull. Oh, you had a prize gallery of fans in the Coliseum tonight.
Is that the team's fault?
All right. I won't hold the gambling picture as I read it against the team. But answer me this. Why did you replace yourself in the last quarter?
Sprained ankle. I'd begun to limp.
Ankle looks fine to me now.
It wasn't then.
Second string player subbing for you meant money in the bank for the gamblers, Chris. You're Blankhurst's anchor man, and it's top scorer.
Are you accusing me of deliberately...
I wouldn't accuse any boy of anything. Not until I have positive proof. Absolute evidence. You've got a big future ahead, and I'd hate to see it wrecked by stigma or innuendo. I'm a cop, but I worry about that.
Thanks for some kind words.
Okay. Go keep that hot date, Buster. Coach Sandy Bigelow was even less cooperative, let alone friendly, than his team captain.
I don't take kindly to private snoops annoying my players.
Well, don't complain to me.
Dean Palmer exceeded his powers in hiring you. I'm going before the Board of Trustees.
Meanwhile, let's talk.
I deny every rumor. I've got a bunch of fine kids, straight as a die, every mother's son of them.
I picked up this morning's paper on the way over. A columnist named Soapy Slater gets off a few remarks.
Soapy Slater? Why, the man's an irresponsible muckraker.
They load down on sports. Let me read you a few lines. Last night's only Blankhurst Van Versen winner was a betting combine. Wonder who Coach Bigelow really obliged in surprise benching of star forward Wisnowski.
Tyranny by innuendo. But I'm thick-skinned, Craig. In 20 years of coaching, I've developed a rhinoceros hide. I pay no attention to columnists.
Well, why did you bench Wisnowski?
He's a show-off. He's in the race for highest scoring honors in the National Basketball. And all he thought about was swelling his total. Also, he was playing to his girl in the stands. She'd flown in from Dubuque to see her hero in action. You understand my benching him now?
Yes, I do. I'm going to ask you some blunt questions, Coach.
Fire away.
You suspect any of your players of dumping?
Not the one.
As far as you know, has any player or players suddenly taken on a prosperous look, like free spending, clothes, girls, convertibles?
There's been absolutely nothing like that. Well, do you have any other blunt questions?
Yeah, a hard one to ask. You'll probably take a punch at me.
Yeah, I know the question you intend asking. Am I crooked? Am I dumping games by cleverly mishandling my team? Am I getting a payoff somewhere?
I've heard it whispered.
Oh, why? You hear it whispered wherever basketball is played these days. Because one or two crooked teams have been exposed, the rest of us bear the brunt. We have to pay for our innocence.
Then, for the record, you denounce the rumors around about you.
You're tempting me to throw that punch.
Ah! Sunday in a college town is a day of cemetery quiet. I checked into the nearest recreation lounge. The joint was the annex to a hotel, the Hotel Olympia. I had a key to room 222. The bartender, drink, please. You decide what. I want to be surprised. I was halfway through a drink advertised as Campus Conniption, 99 cents, when a gent came close enough to breathe on me. He looked more of a stranger in town than me. Beefy jowls, a stick pin with a diamond the size of a walnut, and yellow shoes. His kisser was not unfamiliar.
Hello, Craig. Place a face?
Yes, yes. I didn't know the circus was in town.
The New York joke's out of place here.
So are you, Smiley.
I got a sister living here in town. I'm visiting.
Why?
Well, sit down. I'll tell you why.
Okay. I'm tingling with expectancy.
Hey, you'll be tingling, all right. You see what I got for you? Here. For your old age.
Well, what's inside the brown wrapping?
A grand in 20s.
For me?
For you.
For what?
For nothing. And I got something else for you. Let's see. Yeah, here in my vest pocket. For you, Craig, my compliments.
A railroad ticket.
One way, clear to Times Square. One look at you at the bar, I knew you were homesick. Your train's in an hour. Give my regards to Broadway.
Very sorry, Smiley.
You're going to be foolish?
I am.
The boys and me are making a buck. What's it to you?
Nothing. That's a job for the authority. I'm here to crack down on fixing and fixers. Stop the corruption of a basketball squad.
And you're here for nothing, Craig. There's nothing to it. No fix, no bribing players.
You expect me to believe that?
Sounds corny to say, I know, but we haven't been able to reach a player. We try, but no dice.
Then why try so hard to ship me home?
We're running lucky. We don't want a jinx. Well, the boys made up a pool. $1,000. Get rid of you. They don't want no evil eye. You don't grab the G, you're a sap.
Put it back in your pocket, Smiley. Morning begins early in Hicktown. I've been in bed 7 hours, eyes wide open. Hotel rooms have that effect on me. I mean flowered wallpaper has. State who you are.
This is Soapy Slater of the Herald Gazette. Good morning.
It will be in 2 hours.
Rise and shine. It's 7 o'clock.
Oh, do I hate cheerful early rising.
Mr. Craig, can I see you?
Why?
Something pertinent to your work on behalf of Dean Palmer.
Oh.
In an hour, say?
Well, since I'm now doomed to stay awake.
At your hotel, then, I'll join you at the breakfast table.
Good enough. Soapy Slater really did have vital, confidential information.
Coffee's good. Now, at least 3 games were dumped by Blankhurst U.
Well, give me concrete proof.
I've got another kind of proof.
Guesswork's no good, Slater. Let's not be callous about the reputations and futures of a lot of young men.
Oh, I respect your sensitivity there. I hate to see any young man stigmatized, but suppose my criminal information doesn't concern any of the young men.
None of the players?
No player. Just the coach.
Sandy Bigelow?
Sandy Bigelow, yes. Now, if you'll listen...
Shoot.
I'm a newspaper man. I have sources of information.
Now, get down to it. What information did you receive about Sandy Bigelow?
That he was seen consorted with gamblers in an out-of-the-way roadhouse called the Blue Lantern, run by Gussie Daniels. Now, drive out and talk to Gussie, why don't you? You'll find her very frank and cooperative.
What else against Sandy Bigelow?
I have information that Bigelow made a substantial cash deposit in his bank account, the Craigmore Savings Bank. That's a bank in another county, mind you. A fact significant in itself.
Who could tip you to the status of Bigelow's bank account?
I'm going to be evasive about that, Craig.
Somebody connected with the bank, huh? An official or a teller?
I'm not answering that.
Why are you giving me these facts against Sandy Bigelow?
To expedite your investigation.
To hurry Bigelow into jail.
To accomplish that, yes.
Why not use the facts yourself for an exposé feature? You're a newspaper man.
I tried to. My paper refused to use it. I'll write the story from the police blotter when you file arrest charges against Bigelow.
In the Craigmore Savings Bank, 70 miles across the county line, I persuaded a bank manager to give me a detailed memorandum on Bigelow's savings account. Persuading the bank manager meant unraveling a lot of red tape, satisfying bank policy and protocol, but I got what I was after. My next stop was the Blue Lantern. The owner, Gussie Daniels, was the Amazon type who could lick her weight in men, and probably did, from the looks of her patrons. Her answers were frank and cooperative.
He was in here all right, that Bigelow. Over in that corner there, trying not to look conspicuous.
Bigelow was in here frequenting with gamblers.
Nose to nose, talking to him over beer and pretzels.
And you identify particular gamblers you saw Bigelow with?
All that New York crowd. I had a state cop name a few for me. One named Johnny Minton. Oh, mean looker. Another named Richie Silk. Crazy about my cheese mix and potato chips, that one. And a third with a funny name that sounds like Bongo or something.
Bozo the Bull?
Yeah, that's it. Had a bad stomach. Never ate or drank anything in here.
Bozo the Bull served time last year for fixing a Midwest basketball game.
Well, he's right here up to his fixing tricks. And Bigelow's in with him.
How often would you say Bigelow was in here?
Well, it's twice that I've seen him, and there are nights when I'm not here. That's Wednesday and Friday when I'm babysitting from a married daughter. Ada May, that's my daughter. I'm a grandmother.
Oh, great. Buy a drink, Gussie?
Sure you can. Buttermilk.
Before making a course celebre with the coach, I had a talk with him. Circumstances could be damning on their face, yet untrue. I've been a cop too long not to know that. Bigelow tried explaining his meetings with known gamblers.
I've nothing to be ashamed of. I sought those certain gentry out in order to warn them.
Warn them of what?
To keep away from my boys. You see, there'd been anonymous phone calls to Wisnowski and to Chris Ransom. Open hints of offered bribes. And both Wisnowski and Ransom reported the incidents to me. And I told them to say nothing.
So you met with the gamblers discreetly to tell them off?
I threatened them with police action if they ever bothered my boys again. Well, you believe me, Craig?
Frankly, I'm not sure I do. Why do you bank 70 miles away in Cragmore?
Well, habit. I used to coach Cragmore College back in 1950, 5 years ago. I never canceled or transferred my bank account, that's all.
What's your balance there now?
My balance? Well, sir, about $1,200, I'd say. Why?
Got your bank book handy?
Why, no. In fact, I don't have it at all. It's been missing for months. Mislaid or lost or...
I see. Suppose I told you that your balance is more like, Wait, I have a bank memorandum on it with me. Here, have a look. You're up to $6,000, Bigelow.
Well, that's impossible.
Fat deposits made periodically since the start of the basketball season. Well, what's your answer?
Craig, somebody's out to incriminate me. Smear me. A frame-up. I haven't made a deposit in my Cragmore account in almost a year.
Now, you're not really asking me to believe a trick was worked on you where, say, your bank book was stolen so that sneak deposits could be made swelling your savings account.
Well, if that slip you showed me is actually so, yes, I am asking you to believe exactly that.
Character assassination through frame-up. I postpone judgment on Coach Bigelow for the time being. And pretty soon, events justified my discretion there. The team captain, Chris Ransom, had again been contacted by the gambling mob. And this time, Bigelow brought his boy to me.
Man named Smiley. He smoked me in Leary's drugstore.
How much did he offer you?
$5,000. To be divided between myself and one other player I could recruit. He suggested I talk to Wisnowski.
Which game does the mob want dumped?
The last one on our schedule, against Barnaby Tech.
Oh, Bigelow.
Yes, Craig?
How does Blankhurst U compare with Barnaby Tech?
Well, we've beaten them 3 years running, by margins of 20 points or more.
Meaning Blankhurst U should enter the game and odds on favor?
Oh, I should say so, yes.
The mob wants to bet Barnaby Tech heavy and make a final killing. Okay. We'll accept the bribe.
Accept?
Now, you wait a minute, Mr. Craig.
To teach the mob a bitter lesson. Where it hurts most, in the pocketbook. You'll accept the bribe, Ransom. Promise to dump the game along with Wisnowski, and then play your fool heads off. Trim Barnaby Tech from here to Timbuktu. The game against Barnaby was played as scheduled. Wisnowski and Chris Ransom played the best ball of that or any other year. They scored almost at will. At the final whistle, the score was 76-38, favoring Blankhurst. I'd never seen a more shattered bunch than that gambling clique. They looked as if the specter of the breadline haunted them. The Blankhurst team got a rising ovation. Yeah! I was in the offices of the Herald Gazette the following a.m. I read Sophie Slater's column back to me. Question. Was there reverse dumping in last night's Blankhurst-Barnaby game? Why the sudden life to Wisnowski and Ransom? Was it that certain elements required a better than 20-point spread in order to cash in? I'm only asking. Well, Slater?
Well, what?
Why the awful lie?
Is it a lie?
Malicious, deliberate, cowardly. I happen to know this time.
Mm-hmm.
Wisnowski and Ransom deliberately cheated cheaters last night. They took bribe money on my say-so, agreed to dump so far as the gamblers were concerned, but instead played to win. Why are you so passionately anxious to smear?
I've got nothing to say.
Then answer this. Why have you been plotting to destroy Coach Bigelow? Destroy him by frame-up.
Bigelow. Bigelow rates everything I can dish out to him. That man isn't human.
Then there's a personal motive against Bigelow. What, Slater? Go on, talk.
Bigelow is a paragon of virtue. Thinks of himself as a god. He sees life as a blackboard maxim. You're either very good or very bad. No shadings in between. If you're very good, he loves and adores you. If you're bad or weak or just a fool, Bigelow will crucify you. No mercy, no quarter, no human understanding.
Who was it so close to you that Bigelow crucified?
My son, Bob. Bob played for Crabmore College once, 8 years ago, when Bigelow coached there. Bob made a slip.
Your son took a bribe.
Yeah, but he didn't go through with his bargain. My son did not dump, but Bigelow never took that into consideration. The fact that my son wrestled with his conscience and won, Bigelow didn't care to hear. He drummed my son out of college basketball.
Your son was Bob Slater.
Bob Quonset. We changed our name to Slater.
There is a meeting today in Dean Palmer's office. Team, Bigelow, the college trustees, me. You be there too, Slater. We'll get all the truth there, out in the open. There's a kind of catharsis for everybody. When we're done, we let the police study the minutes of our meeting. Decide what action they want to take. You come, huh, Slater? Get it off your chest.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Sucker Bait, was written by John Robert. The National Broadcasting Company has just brought you an NBC Radio Network production with William Gargan starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator, directed by Andrew C. Love. Our cast included Norman Field, Jess Kirkpatrick, John Stevenson, Joe Forte, and Gloria Ann Simpson. Monitor takes you everywhere this Sunday on NBC Radio.
Wheaties presents Night Beat. On stage tonight from Hollywood, Night Beat, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. Stories start in many ways. That night, my story began with the innocent ringing of my telephone. I didn't know that on the other end of the line was death.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
When you get up and stretch and find your way to the kitchen tomorrow, reach for the Wheaties. Lay spoon to a whole wheat. Whole wheat that can help make a difference all morning long. Start a good breakfast with Wheaties for the roll-up-your-sleeves kind of energy that can make the morning go smoother. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. You got it? A whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can do so much. That's why Wheaties at 7 can really help at 11. Tumble out those golden flakes, pour on the milk, put on the fruit, pick up the spoon, and smile. You're getting nourishment to help send you through the morning on high. You do it. Help yourself to breakfast of champions. And see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
It was my night off. I locked the door, pulled down the window shades of my $6 a week ivory tower, and took the cork from a bottle of, Mother Jones soothing stomach syrup. And reached for, you should pardon the expression, a book. Oh, what the heck, a lot of people read books. School children, for instance. Tonight, some other poor sucker was walking the Night Beat. And as far as I was concerned, the whole world could take a walk. But as it turned out, the joke was on me. The world took a walk, all right. Right into my snug little ivory tower. It began modestly enough with the ringing of my telephone. Yeah?
Randy, this is Matt Connell. Where have you been?
Oh, look, Mr. Editor, I'm on my own time.
I called every redhead in town. I called every bar and grill. I called the police station, the county hospital, the morgue. Where have you been?
Well, you found me, Matt, at home.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You'll never guess who's looking for you.
Okay, I'll never guess.
Mr. DeStout's come to town.
Edward DeStout, our distinguished publisher?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to talk to you about that Night Beat spin of yours.
What about it?
Well, he's got some ideas. Maybe he wants to expand it into a column. He's only going to be in town until tonight, so he wants you to phone him right away. Handover 23820. You got it?
Yeah, what are we calling him this season? Father of the Waters, Star of Stars, or just plain Bill?
Randy, call him right away. It sounded important.
Okay. Come on. Good evening, Mr. DeStout. Your humble servant, Mr. DeStout. Now drop dead, Mr. DeStout.
Jerry's on that garage.
Garage? Is this Andover 23820?
No, this is 30829. You must have dialed wrong.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Two, three, eight, two, oh. Well, I'd have to try again in a couple of seconds, so I didn't even bother putting the receiver back on the hook. And from that little thing, it all began. I started thinking, isn't it funny how by just missing one number on the dial, instead of getting a millionaire publisher with ulcers, I got Jerry's all-night garage? What would have happened if I dialed 7 instead of 9? Then who would have answered the phone? It was a strange thought. Through this little dial, the whole city was at my fingertips. I remembered reading somewhere that there were 6 million telephone combinations on one dial. Then on the spur of the moment, I did a dumb thing. I spun the dial 7 times in rapid succession without even looking at the number. And the phone started ringing. I had a connection. Where was it ringing? Who had destiny chosen to get my call? Some frowsy little gal crying her eyes out in the back bedroom? A dozing night watchman in an office closed for the night? Was my call interrupting a family brawl in some dark flat on the north side? Was it breaking up the sleep of some poor guy working a night shift? Well, wherever it was ringing, there was no answer. So I tried dialing the Stout's number again. I thought what a swell idea for a column. The whole city at your fingertips. Still busy. So, again, just for the fun of it, and without looking at the phone, I dialed 7 times.
Fred, listen, darling. Don't hang up again. Let me talk to you. Please, please, darling.
Hey, what is this?
What? Oh, I thought... What do you want?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. I must have dialed the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Don't hang up. Maybe you can help me.
Help you? What is it?
My life's in danger.
Come again?
I've got to have a doctor right away.
Well, I'll call one for you.
But I can't have any doctor. I've got to call one who would understand. One who wouldn't betray Fred.
Then why don't you call Fred's doctor?
I'd call Dr. Bechtel.
Bechtel?
Yes, Russell Bechtel. He said doctor. But his nurse said he's out on the call and she doesn't know where to reach him. I couldn't tell her the trouble I'm in. She wouldn't understand. She'd only tell me to call the police.
The police?
Gone for a gun.
Oh, well, then, sister, you better call the police.
No! They put Fred away for good, and I couldn't stand that. I'd rather be dead.
Oh, I get it.
You don't believe.
Oh, you catch on fast. Who put you up to it, honey? Sounds like the boy's on the police beat.
Listen, you've got to believe.
Does it say so in the Constitution? Look, I'm pretty busy.
Please, you've got to. You've just got to. You've got to.
Wait a minute. How could this be a gag? You didn't call me. I called you.
I swear.
Keep talking.
Look, I don't know who you are or how you happen to call this number, but if you don't help me, I'm finished. All Fred needs is a doctor, one we can depend on. Fred's been sick for a long time. When he gets these spells, he temporarily goes out of his mind. And Dr. Bechtel can always snap him up.
Well, we'll call him.
But I told you I can't reach Dr. Bechtel.
Well...
Oh, you must believe me. And you've got to promise not to call the police.
What are you talking about? If your life's really in danger, of course I'll call the police.
All right, then just forget the whole thing. Goodbye.
Wait a minute. Don't hang up. Just give me a chance to catch my breath, will you? Now, let me see.
Yes?
Well, okay, you sound like a good kid. Maybe I can get you to a doctor. My doctor, Lawrence Blair.
Will he do as I say?
Yeah, but I'd better be able to tell him a few things about this, or he'll just tell me to go to bed with an ice bag and a couple of aspirins. Now, just who is this guy, Fred?
He's my husband, Fred Schwerer.
He threatened to kill you?
Yes, as soon as he returned.
Why don't you get out of the house before he returned?
I'm not in the house.
Oh?
We were out driving when he got this spell. Oh, it was terrible.
All right. Now, try to relax. Now, tell me about it.
We started accusing him of not loving us anymore. He threatened me like a madman.
Yeah?
Then he drove me to the studio and locked me in. Said he was going for a gun to kill me.
Where is this studio?
I'm not sure. I didn't watch closely. I was meeting with him all that.
Oh, fine. That makes it dandy.
I never knew about the studio. He's a commercial artist. I guess he came here to work. See, we've only been married for 3 months.
Well, aren't there any windows you can break through and get out?
No, it's on the 8th floor.
What about the fire escape?
It's at the end of the building. I've pounded on the door and tried to get help, but no one's come. We haven't lived in the city very long. I've called a few friends we know, but no one's home. I don't know what to do.
Now, look, there's no time for that. I'm going to get my doctor over to you. I got to know where you are. Now, you go and look out the window for any identifying landmarks that would help us find you.
Oh, my God. Well, please don't hang up.
No, I won't hang up. Now, go on. Step on it. Well, I waited for her to return. I opened my collar and I loosened my tie. What have I gotten into? Me? Nothing. But what about that poor kid? Why wasn't she back on that phone? Where was she? Come on, lady. Where was she? And then she was back.
Hello?
Yeah.
Well,
now do you have any idea where you are?
Well, there's a big warehouse directly across from this building.
Yeah?
About a block east of here, I can see a radio tower. But I can't quite make out the name of it.
A radio tower? What else?
Well, there's just the usual apartment buildings along the street. But down the corner, there's a large supermarket.
A supermarket? Anything else?
Yes, there's a park a few blocks away. Looks like Lincoln Park.
And the building you're in now, can you tell me anything about it?
It's white brick. And there are 2 more floors above it.
All right, okay, we'll be able to find you. I'll call my doctor right away. He knows the city better than the guys who built it. He'll find you. And I'm going to stay right here at this phone. If anything goes wrong, I want you to call me right away. You understand?
Yes, I will.
My number is Butterfield 13003. Have you got that?
Butterfield
13003. That's right.
But remember now, I'm depending on you not to call the police.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you do, I'll deny everything. Maybe that sounds crazy.
Yeah, well, kid, nothing sounds crazy to me anymore. I'm even ready for that thing about the storks. Now, don't forget to call me right back if you need me. I'll call my doctor right away.
All right.
When I hung up the phone, I was ready for a blood transfusion. I tried to light a cigarette, but the match shook so much you would have thought I was signaling somebody. But then as I reached for the phone book to call my doctor, I started thinking again. I said, oh, Randy, it's too pat to be true. I couldn't help imagining that someplace a room full of practical jokers were doubled up in laughter over the way the girl had taken me in. But how could that be when I called her? Well, just the same, I'd better check. She said her doctor was Russell Bechtel. Before I called my doc, I'd call this fellow Bechtel just to make sure. I found his number in the book. Dr. Bechtel's office?
Yes. Who's calling, please?
I'm a newspaper man on the store. I'd like to talk to the doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's not in now. He's out on a call. Can I help you?
Well, maybe. Does the doctor have a patient named Fred Schwery?
Well, these things are confidential.
Yes, look, ma'am, there's no time for that. A few moments ago, I spoke to Fred Schwery's wife.
Well?
She told me that Schwery had gone into a violent fit of some kind.
He's had another attack?
Yes, he's got her locked in his studio, and he's gone for a gun to kill her.
Then you'd better call the police right away.
You mean she was telling me the truth?
I mean Fred Schwery, a dangerous paranoid. He's had three attacks in the last 2 months.
Why wasn't he put away?
Well, the doctors begged that girl to commit him to asylum, but she's so stubborn.
You know the address of Schwery's studio?
No. The doctor might, but I have no way of reaching him until he calls in. Our records show only Mr. Schwery's home address.
All right, thank you. Will you please call me back if you reach the doctor? My number is Butterfield, 13003. Well, I don't know. She wants me to get my own doctor out there. She gave me enough landmarks to find the place.
Then you'd better hurry. Because if Schwery's had another one of his attacks, and he gets to that girl with a gun, you'll never find her alive.
Yes, yes, I know. Goodbye, thank you. So, the poor kid had been telling me the truth. I know I ought to call the police, but I remembered her saying that if I did, she'd deny ever talking to me. Yes, and maybe she was stubborn like the nurse said, but she was also a mighty brave kid. I started looking through the phone book for my doctor's number. Black, Blaine, oh, where is it? Blair, Jasper, Lawrence, there it is, Dr. Lawrence Blair, Radcliffe, 41079. Before I could dial the number, my phone started ringing. Yeah?
I can only talk for a second. I was looking down. I just saw Fred drive up in the car. It's too late for the doctor.
Yeah, but not for the police. I'll call him right away.
No, you can't.
But don't you see your life is in danger? If he's insane, he's got to be restrained.
Oh, please. Try to handle it my way.
No, I refuse to.
Then I'll tell Fred the police are coming for me. Give him a chance to get away.
But you don't understand.
I only understand that I love Fred. Nothing else matters one bit. I talked him out of these attacks before, and I'm going to try to do it again.
All right, all right. How much time do you want?
Give me half an hour.
No, 15 minutes. If you don't call back in 15 minutes, I'll know you're in trouble, and I'll have the police out there at once.
15 minutes. All right, now I've got to hang up. Let him lock you.
Now remember, 15 minutes.
General Mills is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
Salesmen can sell better, farmers can farm better, housewives can housewife better on a better breakfast. Sure, and sure as you start with Wheaties, you're going to have a good start to a better breakfast. Now, whatever you do, whatever your job, do it better, smoother, easier with Wheaties to help. Because there's a whole kernel of wheat for every Wheaties flake. And what a difference that can make. Whole wheat protein for vigor and stamina. Whole wheat vitamins and minerals for vitality. Naturally, it makes a difference. Naturally, you should feel a bright and pleasing difference in your morning with whole wheat Wheaties tucked inside. Have some and see. You'll enjoy yourself, too. They're good to get up to, these golden flakes. Crisp, you know, not sweet. Fill those breakfast bowls with Wheaties, pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and eat happy. Yes, eat happy and work happy. It's likely to be a brighter morning when you've had your Wheaties. Thousands of people think so, too. Get up and go, folks. People with things to do and places to go. They're getting breakfast to champions in the morning. Are you? Get yours. Starting tomorrow, see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
And now, back to Nightbeat and Randy Stone.
This time I'd hit the jackpot in spades. I was just doodling on the phone, spinning the dial without even watching it, when I got a girl waiting to be killed by her crazed husband. I promised to wait 15 minutes to give her a chance to snap the guy out of it. And if I didn't hear from her at the end of that time, I was to call the police. I wasn't sure my watch was right, so I dialed at the correct time.
At the tone, the time will be 6:05.
My watch was a couple of minutes slow. I reset it exactly. 6:05. Okay, if I didn't hear from her by 6:20, I'd call the police. Her husband was with her now. I could close my eyes and see that madman threatening her life in that studio. I felt my stomach cramp up like a troop of Boy Scouts were practicing their nuts. Why had I promised to wait? Maybe this was her. I felt tiny chills race up and down my fingers as I reached for the phone. Yeah?
I want to speak to Marge.
Huh?
Tell her, tell. Oh, I want to call the phone, you hear me?
Look, pal, you've got the wrong number. So long.
Wait a minute.
Look, will you hang up? I'm expecting an important call. Hang up.
Now, well, let me check.
Dope. Now, what time was it? 6:07. I took the watch off my wrist and set it on the telephone table under the lamp so I could see it easily. I watched the tiny hand circling so slow. 6:08. What was happening in that studio? This might be her. Yeah?
This is a nationwide radio survey.
What then?
Are you listening? Radio.
Will you please hang up? I'm expecting an important call.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you, sir. Thank you.
What if she'd call when someone else was on the phone? I had to keep the line clear.
Operator?
Operator, I'm expecting a very important call during the next 10 minutes, and I don't want to receive any other calls. Can you help me?
Is the call you're expecting long distance, sir?
No, it's local.
It would be impossible to block out your line for local calls, sir, because then the call you're waiting would be unable to come through.
Oh, yes, I hadn't thought of that. Thank you, bye. 6:09. Had only 1 minute gone by? I could feel my nerves tightening up like someone was turning a screw. She should be calling soon. What was happening to her? Miss Waring?
I want to speak to Mark.
Didn't I tell you? You've got the wrong number. Now get off the line and stay off.
I got to rise up all right, Sparker. You just put my telephone, you hear me? You tell...
Why doesn't that bum stop calling? Why didn't he stop? Oh, okay. Come on, relax. 6:12. Why had I promised to wait? I should be calling the cops right now.
Operator?
What do I dial for the police department? No, not yet. I was just wondering about it. Thank you. I promised her I'd wait. Maybe she could control the guy, but why wasn't she calling? 6:13. Time was passing so slow. Oh, if that's that drunk again. Who is it?
Stone, what are you trying to do to me? Get me fired?
Oh, Matt, it's you.
Yeah, your boss and editor. Who are you expecting? Truth or consequences?
Look, Matt, hang up, will you? I'm waiting for a call.
Waiting for a call?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Randy? Didn't I tell you to call Mr. Stout? Waiting for your call, you crazy loon. And you know how our honored publisher likes to be kept waiting.
Yeah, I haven't time to explain, man.
Don't explain anything. Get on that phone and call Andover 23820. Now, that's an order. He just called and tore into me. He asked me if he was expected to phone you. He's pouting up there, Randy, feeling abused. Then you know what happens when Mr. DeStout feels abused.
Yes, all right. Hang up, man.
You'll call him.
Yes, right away. Hang up.
Okay, and after you talk to him, call me back.
Yeah. I looked at my watch, 6:17. There were just 3 minutes left to get her called. I couldn't phone to Stout now. What if she should phone when I was talking to someone else? What if she had only that one chance and all she got was a busy signal? No, I couldn't call now. Hello.
Hello. Is this the Stone residence?
Yes. What do you want?
I'd like to speak to Mrs. Stone, if you don't mind.
There isn't any Mrs. Stone. Look, I'm very busy.
No, Mrs. Stone. Well, I'll just have to talk to you then, won't I?
Yes, but some other time.
I'm
very busy now.
Oh, this won't take but a tiny moment, and I have so much
Now, look, madam.
I've been appointed by our local committee to call you about the coming election. To ask you to cooperate with us in our drive to register all voters regardless of
party. Madam, I'm not old enough to vote.
But if we all go, then don't you see we can do something?
Look, I'm going to have to hang up.
But for heaven's sake.
Some other time. Yeah.
Well, you better hang up from here, Ken.
Will you stop calling this number? 619, and she has me called. I'm going to wait for one more minute to pass, and then I'm going to call the police. Hello.
Randy Stone?
Yes?
I asked Matt Cummel to have you call me, Mr. Stone, but apparently you were unable to. This is Edward DeStout speaking.
Oh, the big boss. Oh, no.
What's that?
Yes, Mr. DeStout. I was going to call you as soon as I had the time.
As soon as you had the time? Well, I must say, that's not exactly flattering, Stone. I rather imagine.
Mr. DeStout, I'm expecting a very important phone call.
There are people who think that a call from me is also rather important.
Can I call you in 5 minutes?
And what am I supposed to do? Just sit here waiting for your call like a lackey? I believe Connell told you I was leaving tonight.
But Mr. DeStout...
So we'll talk now, if you don't mind.
Look, instead of talking about this on the phone, how about me taking a cab over to your place as soon as my call comes through? We could talk it over much easier.
Oh, I think we can handle the matter of the phone very nicely.
But we can't handle it over the phone, don't you see? A girl's life is at stake, and you prattle on like we had all day.
A girl's life at stake, is it?
Yes.
I've heard about your talents for invention, Mr. Stone, but I don't think I enjoy the idea of you practicing them on me.
Look, to start, I'm afraid I'm going to have to do something else you won't enjoy. I'm afraid I'm going to have to hang up.
I wouldn't do that.
What time is it now? 6:21. It couldn't be. I couldn't have talked to him that long. Oh, hurry, hurry, hurry.
At the tone, the time will be 6:21 and 1/2.
6:21 and 1/2. Well, I've kept my part of the bargain.
Police Department, Sergeant Harris.
Oh, Harris, this is Randy Stone. Listen to me closely. We don't have any time to lose.
What's up, kid?
You better send out an all-points alarm on this. It's got to be fast.
Hey, slow down, slow down. I can't understand you.
Look, a while ago, I spoke to a girl on the phone. She told me her life was in danger. She was locked in a studio, and her husband was coming there to kill her.
Easy now, easy. I got to write this down.
You got to move fast, and we're not going to make it.
Go on.
This husband of hers, he's insane. He became violent.
How long ago did you talk to this dame?
15 minutes ago.
Why don't you call us right away?
I'll tell you all about it later. We got to get to her.
The address of this studio.
I don't know her address. It's the first time I ever spoke to her.
Stone, you can drink it.
No, no, I'm telling you the truth.
So how are we supposed to find her?
Well, she gave me a landmark. She saw from her window. She gave me enough so you guys can get right to her.
All right. What are they?
All right, now let me see. She said her window looks right out on the blank walls of a warehouse.
Whose warehouse?
Well, she didn't say.
Oh, that's a big hit. Next.
Well, she could see the tower of a radio station about a block away.
Could she make out the call letters of the station?
No.
That's no good. What else?
What do you mean, no good?
How many stations you got on your radio, Stone? What else?
Well, there's a supermarket down the street, a big supermarket.
Supermarkets are all over the place.
Yeah, but this one's near Lincoln Park.
What does that mean? The whole north side's near Lincoln Park. What else?
Nothing else. You add all those things up, it's got to lead you somewhere.
Yeah, we could find her all right in 3 or 4 hours.
But that's no good. In fact, she hasn't called back, means she's in trouble. If you don't get there right away, it'll be too late.
Hey, wait.
What?
We're a couple of dopes.
What do you mean?
She called you, what you call her.
I called her.
Okay, we're in business.
Huh?
We'll have a squad car out to that studio in 3 minutes.
I don't get it.
You call her, don't you see?
Huh?
All you gotta do is give us her phone number, and through the phone company, we can trace down her address in 30 seconds. What number did you call?
What number did I call?
Come on, Stone, come on. We've gotta move.
But I don't know what number I called. I didn't even look at the dial.
Come on, Stone, speak up. What number did you call?
I don't know what number I called.
You don't know?
Don't you understand? I don't know. I'll never know.
What?
I was doodling with the phone, and she answered.
Just have to try to find her with the information you gave us. It's going to take a long time, but there's nothing else we can do, huh, Stone?
Well, there's 6 million combinations on a dial. No, there's nothing else we can do. I hung up the phone and just sat there. I wanted to die quick and easy. What was I going to do now? How was I going to be able to go on living as though nothing had happened? I was just as much of a murderer as that crazy husband. How could I be so stupid? Why didn't I ask for a number? Why didn't I? Yeah?
Mr.
Jones. Yes?
This is Dr. Bechtel's nurse. Mr.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad I got you. It's all right.
What's all right?
I was able to locate Dr. Bechtel just after you called.
You what?
He knew the address of the studio all right, and he got there in plenty of time. We're sending Swarry to a sanitarium for treatment.
And the girl?
Oh, she's fine. I had to give her a sedative, though.
Oh, you know what I've been doing the last 15 minutes waiting for her call? I'm half nuts myself. I'm ready for a straitjacket.
But, Mr. Stone...
Why didn't you call me right away?
But, Mr. Stone, I've been trying. Your line's been busy.
Yep, that's what's called learning a lesson the hard way. The lesson being that ivory towers went the way of hoop skirts and 60-cent steaks. Nope, there's no escaping from the world. We're all tied together for better or worse, whether we like it or not. And no matter how well you lock your windows and bar your door, the dreams and the fears and the hopes of all your fellow men are still no farther away than your fingertips. Oh, no, no, I won't answer. I can't. Oh, well, let's see this. Yeah?
Listen, I want to speak to March.
Oh, shut up. Oh, you know something, next month I may decide not to pay my phone bill. Copy, oh, no, what am I doing?
You're listening to Night Beat. On the Wheaties, Big Parade.
Oh, Frank Lovejoy.
Yeah.
How do you like that slogan we've got for Wheaties?
Oh, you mean that one about 7 and 11?
Yeah, you know. See how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
I think it's swell. How'd you happen to think of it?
Well, can you keep a secret?
Oh, Silent Frank, they call me. Shoot.
Well, the other morning, I missed my Wheaties. Imagine. And I tell you, Frank, by 11 o'clock, I felt like I'd been put through the ringer. I was worn to a frazzle.
Well, it just goes to show you.
You know it. It certainly convinced me that if you eat Wheaties at 7, you get the energy you need to help you feel good right on to lunchtime.
Oh, so you thought up, see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11, hmm? Well, no wonder they call you the Wheaties.
That's right, Frank. Good night.
Night.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. And written by Larry Marcus, with music by Frank Worth. The part of the girl was played by Loreen Tuttle. Others in tonight's cast were Catherine Card, Barbara Dupar, Bill Lally, Peter Leeds, and Jay Novello. Frank Lovejoy will next be seen in Milton Sperling's production, Three Secrets, released by Warner Brothers. Listen next week and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also Tuesday, that's tomorrow night, to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Night Beat came to you from Hollywood.